And please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Last week we got the background of the day of Pentecost. And they call it the day of Pentecost because it's one of the feasts of Israel that for 1,500 years the Jews in the law were taking part in a feast, a required feast. Every Jew was required to come to Jerusalem on the feast of Pentecost. And, you know, when the Jews were in the nation of Israel with the temple in Jerusalem, they were required to go at Pentecost. And so the background that we see happening in our study today is that there were Jews from all over the world who were complying with God's edict to them for 1,500 years that you must go to Jerusalem. So if a Jew was anywhere in the world, they, you know, the known world at the time, they were supposed to make sure that they beat feet to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. So there would have been people, Jerusalem would have been crammed full of people, much more than normal during the time of our study today. And then the title of today is They Were All Amazed and Marveled. They were amazed and marveled when the Holy Spirit came upon 120 of Jesus' disciples who are waiting in an upper room in a building in Jerusalem. And if you go to Jerusalem, you know, one of the things they'll do is take you to the upper room. And you know what? I'm almost sure it's not the right one, but it's the one they want you to go to. We don't know where it was. But they make sure that they get your money to tell you that they know where it is. And so, but they were in an upper room. And the things that we're going to emphasize today happened in that upper room on the morning of Pentecost. And so we're going to pick it up at verse 1. Where we went 1 through 4 very rapidly last week, and we're going to spend more time on it. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, which means it's Sunday, 50 days from the Saturday before the resurrection Sunday. So next Sunday is the real, according to the Jewish calendar, our next Sunday, the 28th, is going to be resurrection Sunday. And then you go 49, a full 7 weeks after that on Sunday is going to be Pentecost. And this year, I think it isn't June 16th, Father's Day this year. I think it's June 16th. So that's going to be Pentecost the way it should be, and we explained all this last week. So emphasizing that, you can see it in Leviticus 23, 15 through 16. They were all in one accord in one place. All 120 were all obedient to Jesus, waiting, went to Jerusalem from the Mount of Ascension, the Mount of Olives, where Jesus ascended. He said, go to Jerusalem, wait. They're all into that. They've just picked a new replacement for Judas. So now they go, okay, we've got all 12 apostles because God said, let Judas's position be replaced because he's going to be there's going to be a betrayer that was prophesied in the Old Testament. They go, okay, we got to pick a guy. They pick Matthias, and they're all in one accord just waiting on God. The day of Pentecost comes, and they're just in the room. They're not knowing what's going to happen. They're just waiting. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So let's turn to John 3:8. And I want to emphasize, there's lots of emphasis here that needs to be made to understand. So imagine you're in a room, and all of a sudden there's a mighty rushing wind, the sound of a mighty rushing wind inside of your room. And then we're going to see that, like, tongues of fire that fall on each, everybody in that 120 group would have been then seeing, like, these flames, like a flame from the tongues of flames coming off of a fire, but you see it not as a fire, but you see it landing on each person, and each of those people then start speaking in a language that they didn't know, called speaking in tongues. So the first thing is the wind. And what about the wind? We can't see it, but we can see what it does. Like, how many of you yesterday saw what it does? It took your power out, right? I was sitting there working over in the office, working on that, and my UPS uninterruptible power supply is kicking in like 5 times. And oh, thank you, Jesus, for UPS. That kept my computer from crashing. So you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of it when it moves. And so this is something that even Jesus said to Nicodemus, because he told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, a very righteous, holy man, one of the leaders of Israel, you got to be born again. What do you mean be born again? I'm too big to be born again. And then Jesus says this, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And it goes on from there. I just wanted to emphasize that Jesus equates the Holy Spirit to wind because he was talking to him spiritually. And so they're hearing, wow, this mighty rushing wind and then these tongues coming upon them. So we should be when we, there's two different promises of the Holy Spirit coming to us that Jesus emphasized. And we've been covering this, but for just repeat. One is that we would be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit would come inside of us when we get saved. The day we're born again, the Holy Spirit indwells us. And you know what? We can't see the Holy Spirit coming in us. But everybody that's truly born again, you know what happened. You see the effects of it. You think different. You have a hunger for the Word of God. Sin bothers you. You hate it when it happens. You all of a sudden are talking to a God that you cannot see, and you know he's real, and you want to love him, and you can hear him speaking to you. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You can't see it, but it happens. What's happening here is the Holy Spirit is coming upon them. And upon them is to give them power to be witnesses. And we're going to be seeing that for the next several weeks going through the book of Acts. It's all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes upon them. It's also referred to in the scripture as being filled with the Spirit. But don't confuse being filled with the Spirit as getting the Holy Spirit in to be saved. Because as we emphasized last week, Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit right after he was resurrected. That's when they were saved. They were indwelt with the Holy Spirit. The topic today in Acts chapter 2 is coming upon them, but it's also called filled. So back to Acts chapter 2, verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. Not in them. And the emphasis is, people will say, you're not saved if you don't have the gift of tongues that these guys got. Because see, the Holy Spirit's coming upon them. It's already in them. They're already saved. And so when we get saved, we want the power of God to come upon us, don't we? I hope everybody here, you want the power of God to come with his giftings upon us so that we can serve the God that we are so thankful saved us from sin. So God wanted these 120 faithful out of all the tens of thousands he ministered to, 120 faithful, he wanted them to see something, a new dispensation's coming. Something big is changing. He's sending the miraculous power to speak in tongues that we'll be emphasizing. So now we're going to read 4 through 13 and then go through those verses to conclude our study in greater detail. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Why from every nation under heaven? Because it's Pentecost and they're supposed to be there. And if you were a real Jew and you really cared about God, you were going to Jerusalem from whatever nation you were doing your business in. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, the title of today, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Perga, Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Jews and people wanting to be Jews. That's what it means. Proselytes is Jews and people that they've convinced, you know, you need to go to Jerusalem. You got to be a Jew. You got to go to these three times a year. You've got to go to Jerusalem for the Feast of Israel and it's Pentecost. You come with us. You'll be a Jew. Get circumcised and we'll make you one. Make you a Jew. Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own languages. And this is so important. Underline it. The wonderful works of God. We'll emphasize that later on in our study. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. So let's go back, and we're going to spend the rest of the study on unpacking those verses that we just covered in verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So let's turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 14. What I'm going to emphasize biblically, what I'm saying today, there's so much division in the church about this, about the speaking in tongues. Just how many people have seen or been affected by the division in the church over the gift of tongues, the Pentecostal movement gift of tongues? So why listen to Kevin? Because I'm going to try and show you from Scripture how Scripture wants us to feel and understand the gift of tongues. So the first thing I want to emphasize is what I already have. There's a difference between being indwelt and having the Holy Spirit come upon us. And so people would say, well, Kevin says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. I'm going to tell you that filled with the Holy Spirit means the Holy Spirit coming upon. It doesn't mean getting saved. Okay. And now I'm going to try and prove that by looking at the Scriptures, as we said, turning to Luke 1:14, where Peter and the rest of the people in the upper room already saved. You know, first of all, were they already saved? They have followed Jesus. They picked the 12 apostles. Jesus has breathed on them the day he was resurrected, received the Holy Spirit. They're in the room. They're saved. And so something new is happening to them is one way to look at it. And in Luke 1:14, this is turning the clock back to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. And he is being told by the angel inside the temple on the day that he's offering burning incense before God. And it says, and the angel says, and you, Zacharias, will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his, John the Baptist's, birth, at your son's birth, which you think you can't even have because you're too old. You know, the people are going to rejoice at John the Baptist being born from you. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine or strong drink. He will also be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, again, going back to our previous studies, Jesus told the disciples that he had to go away for the promise of the Holy Spirit to come to them. And he said, the Holy Spirit is with you and will be in you. But he couldn't be in anybody at the time because Jesus hadn't paid the price for sins. You know, really, God can't dwell with sinners. And so why is he dwelling inside of you? Because your sins have been washed away, because you've been forgiven by God. And that's what allows the Holy Spirit to be in us, to save us. And that wasn't possible when the angel is talking to Zacharias, and even John the Baptist could not be indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit filled him to give him power. Does everybody follow that? Hopefully. Okay, now go to Luke 1:67. Because now John the Baptist is born. Now his father, John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, was what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, the power of the Holy Spirit, still in the old dispensation before Jesus, you know, allows us to be saved and starting the church, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him in power. You can see that, and I'm going to point out in a minute, the Old Testament has people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit come upon them. Even pagans, the Holy Spirit came upon them to give them power that God was wanting to give them, but they weren't saved. So you're saved by faith in Jesus. You get power of the Holy Spirit upon you as the Holy Spirit decides to do, as we'll be emphasizing. So Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden now he has the gift of prophecy. He prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Goes on from there. Wow, I've got a son. There's salvation coming from God. My son's leading the way. And all of a sudden, God has just filled him with a prophecy because the Holy Spirit came upon him. Now, for those of you who read the Old Testament, Remember the story of Samson in Judges chapter 14? Can you push down a building that kills thousands of people that are, can you push two pillars down on a building? You know what it says? The Holy Spirit came back on him after his hair grew again, symbolic of he was able to be a witness again because he repented of his sins against God. The Holy Spirit came upon him and he killed a bunch of people with the jawbone of a donkey. So that it says that he was filled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. We see the same thing in Saul. Saul gets coronated as king. He gets anointed as king, I should say. And then he's doing his thing, and people come to him and say, Saul, King Saul, the people of Jabesh Gilead on the east side of the Jordan just got told by the king of Ammon, the Ammonites, that he's going to kill everybody in the city. He's going to invade the city and kill everybody in the city unless they surrender. And he says, if you surrender, the only way you can surrender and not let me kill you and wipe out your city is if I put out all your right eyes. So, and then Saul hears that, and you know what it says? It says, and then Saul, filled with the Holy Spirit, gathered the men and had victory over the Ammonites. So, filling of the Holy Spirit coming upon, is Old and New Testament. What's new here is Christians, indwelt with the Holy Spirit and saved, are now going to receive a special kind of power to be witnesses of what? It's not they're just going to get prophecy for prophecy's sake. They're not going to get the word of knowledge for word of knowledge's sake. The Holy Spirit is going to be distributing the gifts of the Holy Spirit to people that he chooses to do so for the purpose of glorifying Jesus, for the purpose of being a witness of Jesus. So that's the New Testament, New Dispensation purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is really important. So turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 5. And here's the other thing. And this is, again, arguing against the idea that you can't be saved if you don't speak in tongues, because that's how they got saved. These disciples got saved because the Holy Spirit, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, Did Peter get saved and then not get saved and then get saved and not get saved? Okay, because he keeps getting filled with the Spirit. And see, the thing is, you're indwelt. I want to use the term indwelt for the understanding of being saved. And then it says, and the Holy Spirit can come upon you in multiple times in your life. You can have the Holy Spirit come upon you at a time where God is really going to use you to witness. And you can have a word of knowledge that you had no idea. It will cover some of these things. You had no idea, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just gives you something that you know that you didn't know. Or a tongue that you speak for whatever reason that's going to glorify Jesus that you didn't speak. Or an interpretation. All these things is going to come, but then it'll be gone. Like healing can come and be gone. Gift of faith can come and be gone. Because it's the Holy Spirit that's putting upon you. Okay, so Peter's already saved. He's already been there in the upper room. He's speaking in tongues in Acts chapter 2, but in chapter 4, verse 5, it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, who had killed Jesus, so this is, you know, they're calling Peter on the carpet because a man born lame was healed. Caiaphas also took part in killing Jesus, John and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem, and when they had set them, Peter and John, in the midst of them, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's why I left in your notes again, said to them. Now, you basically are being brought into the tribunal with the people that just a few weeks ago murdered Jesus. And you know what he does? He teaches a powerful sermon that we covered on Resurrection Sunday service. What gave him the ability to go from being wimpy to teaching a powerful God-breathed sermon? He was again filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, hey, watch guys, you know, Acts chapter 2, let me speak in tongues and I'll tell you what for. Because he didn't do that, because now the Holy Spirit is not distributing tongues, which is going to have its purposes in Acts chapter 2. He's giving them the power to proclaim the word of God and the truth of the gospel to these wicked men who could kill them. again, to be, Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit power so that you can be my witnesses, which is martyrs. He didn't care if they killed him. And that's what the Holy Spirit is sent upon us to do. So Acts chapter 4, verse 8, again, it says, and then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit again and said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man that was born lame, 40 years old, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you and to all the people in Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, do you like that name, you guys? No, I meant that's Peter talking to them, but I'm glad you guys like his name. He goes, it's just digging it into these guys that could kill him. God, by that name, by Jesus, you want to know where the power, who gives us the authority, who gives us the right? The guy you killed that rose from the grave and has given us this power of the Holy Spirit. Let it be known to you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. The power of the Holy Spirit came upon to be a witness. And that's what we want to be witnesses. I hope everybody here wants to be a witness to Jesus. And God has various different gifts we're going to get into to accomplish that. So let's turn back to Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And again, so much confusion over this. And I'm going to just rattle off. I've been around a long time. Gray hair means something. I've been to churches that, I mean, crazy Pentecostal churches, Hong Kong, other places, and all of a sudden they're just like leaning for, are you guys saved? Because we're not going nuts like they are with, supposed gifts of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, making barking noises and stuff. So there's a lot there. So I'm going to just warn everybody here, if you haven't been associated with people of, and I love Pentecostals that are truly filled with the Holy Spirit and they understand the power and they're being accurate about what the Holy Spirit says that does according to the scriptures. But there's crazy stuff too. And I want you to reject the notion that every believer will speak in tongues. And that if they don't, they aren't saved. If somebody tells you that, and I've been told that, and there's actually a time I know the Lord gave me a gift of tongues and might share that sometime. But don't believe it. It's not true. As I've been trying to make the case here, it's not true. And they might say, and so here's another thing. They'll say, oh, brother, sister, where do you go? Whatever. Have you received the baptism? What that means is, yeah, I was baptized in water when I got saved. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, have you received the baptism? And then you say, what do you mean? Well, brother, do you speak in tongues? Well, my mom says I do. I talk to people. No, I mean, do you? And they aren't satisfied until, if you don't speak in tongues, brother, sister, we need to pray for you. And they'll go on with that until they'll pray fervently. They'll jump up and down and they'll try and teach you how to speak in tongues. We'll get to that. Do you go to a full gospel church? What do they mean by, I think I know the whole gospel, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sins to him and believe that he rose from the dead and I'm going to be saved. That's a full gospel. Oh, no, that's not the full gospel. You got to speak in tongues. Or you're not going to full gospel. You're not full gospel. Do you have your prayer language? And all those things. How many of you have experienced some of those in your life? Okay. So, and then here's the sad thing, is that if you say no, but you're open to the Spirit. I want everything. Should we all want everything God wants for us? We need every gift he can give us. We know that we can do nothing apart from him. So we want whatever gift it is. If he wanted me to have the gift of tongues, I want the gift of tongues. So they'll say, okay, sit down, let's pray for you. So, okay, I've been prayed for because I sincerely wanted the gift of tongues. But I didn't want to fake it. I wanted it to be God. I didn't want to, but they'll teach you, they'll say, oh, just go like this. move your jaw up and down and just make some noise. And then as soon as you say anything, it could be shundled by a Subaru, and they're going to be going crazy. They're just going to go, you received it, brother. You received it. And now you're full gospel. Now you received the baptism, and everything's okay. My Bible teacher would use that to, over this kind of discussion. He would come to the morning session of our Bible school, Calvary Bible School years ago, and he would say, okay, we're going to get right with God. Shundle by a Subaru. And I don't want to mock it, except that, because there isn't, we shouldn't mock, because there's a real gift of tongues. But they only care if you say something that's gibberish. They really only care. And then they're good, because they're in control of your life, because now you're there, and that's how you demonstrate that you're truly squared away with God. So they'll teach you, and you know what Paul said? What gift did Paul mostly want us to have? He wanted us to prophesy. Every time you see the gifts listed, tongues is like at the end. Because tongues was very important, as we're going to get into, was very important for Pentecost Sunday 2,000 years ago. But what God really wants to do is to get the Word of God out to the world of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make us witnesses. Was it a witness to all the Jews then that they were speaking in tongues? It was a complete witness. It's like, how can these people do this, speaking in all of our languages? Just recently, Jesus has been killed. Just recently, there's rumors he rose from the grave. And then he ascended into heaven, and he told these people to go here. All those things would have been there. And I'm going to emphasize a little bit more later, but just think about this. What gift of the Spirit could possibly have made them stand in amazement? The gift of tongues does, because it undoes a Babel effect. It's something that's never been done in the history of the world up until this point. Just like when the blind man of John chapter 9, when Jesus healed the man born blind, and the scribes and Pharisees, the detractors, well, how did you really get healed? And he goes, you know, and then he tells him again, do you want to be a disciple of Jesus? No, I don't want to be a disciple of Jesus. And then the blind man says, isn't this an amazing thing that you don't know where Jesus is from, even though it's never in the history of our entire Old Testament that anybody born blind was healed. And you don't get that Jesus is the Messiah? I mean, that's what he's telling these guys. So also, never in the history of the world had 120 people all got in their own tongues of fire that fall on them to start proclaiming the wonderful works of God. So it's not from Satan. They're proclaiming the wonderful works of God in a language that they don't know, that's glorifying the Jewish God in front of the Jewish hosts that are in Jerusalem. That's a witness. And that made them go, whoa, something big is happening here. And so let's turn to, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12:4. Paul is dealing with the division in the Corinthian church, because then, as now, a lot of people wear "I speak in tongues" on their shoulder, not to glorify Jesus, but to bring attention to themselves, to bring division to the church. Because it's nice if you speak in tongues to say, yeah, pretty spiritual. God gave me the gift of tongues. And let's look down through the list of the gifts that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 4. We're going to go down through the list, and these are kind of like the Holy Spirit is the he's over the armory of God's giftings. You know, I can give you a machine gun. I can give you a I can give you a missile. I can give you this. I can give it. These are all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Not all. They're the ones that are listed in Corinthians. Let's see if these gifts would have been all inspiring to the thousands that are in Jerusalem on Pentecost Sunday. Chapter 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So now consider this list. Here's a list of gifts. What's the benefit to all and to all that were in Jerusalem on Pentecost Sunday for these list of gifts? For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. So the 120 come out of the upper room. Hey, there was a wind of God inside of our room, you know, symbolic of the Holy Spirit. We had tongues that fell upon us, and we have wisdom. What kind of wisdom do you have? It's not a demonstration immediately. This is the point I'm going to be making on this. There we go. How do we know you have wisdom? You say you have wisdom. Are you wiser than Solomon? That's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, though. You can be, here's a comfort for those that feel like you have no wisdom. You know who can give you wisdom? The power of the Holy Spirit can give you wisdom. There's times I've been, oh, Lord, why didn't I have more wisdom? Or why didn't I have the wisdom of so-and-so that did something different? God, I need wisdom. You know, he wants to give you wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. That's knowing something that you don't know. You know, we, kind of a neat story, that on last Thursday, we went into the jail, and Anna and Doug and I were in the women's section, and Anna realizes, I know this lady. I know this lady that's in the jail because she's the daughter of a lady that I knew in school co-ops and stuff like that. And so then she at first is a little bit stand up, and I could tell she really knows the Bible. She's rattling stuff off, and I go, you know the Bible. And then she got, all of a sudden, she got teary-eyed towards the end. I want to give my life to Jesus. And she prayed to receive Jesus. And so Anna had just had a Holy Spirit leading. I've got to go. And she found out that her mom, Brittany's mom, they now know her and are recognizing they know each other because she was the daughter. And her mom's in the hospital. Anna feels like going to the hospital to go and minister to mom. Say, hey, we talked to your daughter and she received Jesus as her Savior. And so Anna walks into the room and she goes, and Anna's like, do you remember me? Yeah, I remember you. Did you come here because of my daughter was in jail and you talked to her? And as far as we can tell, there was no way she knew that. And so even though she's not totally squared away with Jesus, there's the Holy Spirit could do this to just bring a confirmation to Anna of just how incredible of a God that we serve. That, right, Anna? I mean, I didn't mess up there. So that's what a word of knowledge is. It's just knowing something that you wouldn't know. But how would they do that on Pentecost Sunday? How would that have ministered to everybody in the city? Or another faith, same thing. How does that minister? Another gifts of healing. Jesus had been healing. Everybody was healing. And Peter is going to heal very shortly after this. He's going to be healing the man born lame. That's a witness. But it's still not a witness of like something that has gathered all these 120 people. Something miraculous just happened. Working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits would be like, you know, they come out and they go, you know what? We know you scribes and Pharisees are serving Satan. You know, that's a discerning of spirits, but that wouldn't have been much of a witness. To another, different kinds of tongues. Okay, now let's turn to Genesis 11:6. To another, different kinds of tongues, meaning knowing a real language, not just some gibberish. How many of you have heard tongues that just sound like gibberish? Okay. And see, again, they're really happy. If you just say gibberish, you speak in tongues. It doesn't matter. But they were hearing their own languages. Let's say a French guy was there, a French Jew. They were hearing French. Oh, I wish I would have been a Christian and had the gift of tongues. I wouldn't have had to flunk French class or cheat through it when I was going to high school. I didn't flunk it because I cheated, but so. But I was a pagan. That was before I was here. So All Jews know about Genesis 11. They know about all, after the flood of Noah, all men on earth that survived the flood and have descended from Noah and Noah's three sons and their wives, everybody that's now amassing, they all speak one language, probably Hebrew. And God sees, he looks down, and Nimrod, this antichrist of the day, is uniting the people in their hatred of God. And so God says, the Lord said in Genesis 11:6, indeed the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, and this is really important, and we see this happening in our day. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. That explains to me AI. That explains all this extreme technology that the devil is inspiring people to be able to obtain for the purpose of reunifying the world, because that's what they want to do. The globalist agenda is to reunify the world, to undo the Babel effect, to get us all united in a final concerted effort to get rid of the Jews and to get rid of the God that the Jews and the Christians serve. That's their mission. And the incredible things that people are able to do these days. Nothing will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all of the earth. And that's what separated the nations. And God wants nations to be separated. He doesn't want people from one nation going and, you know, homogeneously just infiltrating another country, because that's all necessary to become one again. He wants everybody to be individual, so you can't corrupt the whole thing at once. That's the demonic inspiration of what we've seen happening in the entire Western world. The infiltration, the borders being down, is because the globalists know we have to wipe out that individualism. We have to wipe out that national identity so that everybody will live local and think global instead of thinking their nation. That's a double. So anyway, the Jews know that happened. And now in the same way, let's say everybody was speaking Hebrew at the Tower of Babel. Everybody's speaking Hebrew, and all of a sudden, you're saying, pass me the brick to build the tower. And the person, what are you saying? Just like if somebody speaks to you from a foreign country. And you go, what are you talking about? And all of a sudden you go, wow, everybody's talking weird. And then what you would do is all the people would be seeking, oh, you speak English too. Oh, let's you and I get together. And all of a sudden, pretty soon, all those people are being separated into different nations. And they all gather and go, okay, we all speak the same. We got to get out of here. And they spread throughout the world. And now, all of a sudden, it's the other way around. These people are now able to speak in these languages to glorify God in their language, and they know that's never happened before. And it's God himself that had the power to create different languages. That all of a sudden people spoke in a different language and nobody else can understand them. And now, he's made these people that are Galileans that don't know our languages, all of a sudden they can speak in a language we can hear. What is that? God. That is the only way this could happen, is the God of the Jews, the God who sent Jesus, the God who these Christians proclaim resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven and is starting a new dispensation where Jew and Gentile can get straight to God. This is God. That's why they did it. In my opinion, that's why God chose that gift. And that's not why people seek after the gift of tongues today. It can be used, and we'll talk about that in future studies. So they spoke in a real language. The Holy Spirit gifted them to do that, to be a total witness to the people. Going back to 1 Corinthians 12:10, to another one discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. I want to again emphasize that interpretation of tongues is kind of like tongues. Real tongues is you're speaking in a real language that you didn't learn. And you're speaking it fluently. I mean, everybody can understand you. Interpretation of tongues would be within a church. Later on, Paul will talk about if somebody feels led to give a gift of tongue, then to prevent division and confusion, have it only be two people within the congregation that speak in tongues. And only then, if somebody has the gift of interpretation of tongues, which is, you speak in French, even though I took it a long time ago. I don't know what you're saying. Unless it's a, bonjour, Jeanine, comment vas-tu? Très bien, merci, et toi? That's the only thing I remember. And I shared that with a guy on a train at the Grand Canyon. He goes, boy, you speak well. I go, it's all I know. He was from France. So, if you were to say that, I could interpret that for you. It's, hello, Jeanine, how are you? Oh, I'm fine, thank you, and you? So, but if I don't know anything, and you speak, and all of a sudden, God just gives me the exact words, that's interpretation of tongues. And that one story that I'll share now, I wasn't going to, but I'm going to share this. When I was brand new Christian, being discipled at Calvary Chapel San Diego, Mike McIntosh would have a Saturday night open to the Spirit prayer meeting. You know, in other words, we're going to recognize that we need the power of God in our services. And for Saturday night, we're going to just be in prayer for the service tomorrow. We're going to be seeking the Lord and whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. And so this guy gave a tongue during that service. And to me, because I'd already heard gibberish, to me it was a real tongue. I mean, all I had to wonder was whether or not he actually learned it and he's trying to impress us because he's speaking in a tongue. And that's the way my mind works. You know, I'm thinking, is that real or did you learn it and you're trying to impress us? But anyway, it was a real tongue. Let's say it was really a gift from God. It was a real tongue. And then there was another guy because we wanted to be biblical and Mike McIntosh had taught us about that. And so somebody just went into the interpretation. And I can't remember what he said, but, you know, he gives an interpretation. And then another guy says, I'm sorry, brother. That wasn't the interpretation. Because when brother one that was giving the tongue was speaking, it was like my heart had lips. This is exactly what he said. It was like my heart had lips, and this is what he said. And then he gives the interpretation of tongue. Now, is that confusing? No. See, and that's why Paul said, I mean, this is a gift that can cause great confusion. Because then you're sitting there, I'm sitting there as a young believer. Was that a real tongue? And if it was a real tongue, was that guy, the first guy, the real interpretation of the tongue? Because I don't know. Because I can't interpret it. Or was it the second guy? Or was the second guy just wanting to be somebody and that guy beat him to it? And, you know, just like, that's the way my mind works. I only want the real thing. I don't like just fakey stuff. And so that kind of stuff goes on in the church out there. And, but one of the same, you know, verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Wow, it's the Holy Spirit that decides what he's going to give everybody. And so it's okay if you don't speak in tongues or you have the mannerism like me where you don't want to feel like anything other than the real thing is happening, then it's okay because the Holy Spirit's going to do what he wants to do. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, you know, again, Corinthians says, he distributes, Holy Spirit distributes as he wills. What did it say in Acts 2, 4? As the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit did it. The Spirit is the one that decided. Then going to 1 Corinthians 12, 28, just go from 11 to 28. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles. So now God also gives organizational gifts, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, what's the last one? Varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? The implication, you know, the assumed answer is no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. That's what's implied throughout there. So there again, if they think that you're not saved because you don't speak in tongues, you know it's unbiblical. Do all interpret, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more, and he says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and he defines the best gifts is prophesy. Tell people about Jesus in a language they can understand. And that you would seek the words of God, just like Peter was basically prophesying to the scribes and Pharisees, by what power and what purpose have you made this man healed? And then that the Holy Spirit came upon him and he prophesied. He proclaimed the truth of the word of God with power. And yet I'll show you a more excellent way, and he goes right into 1 Corinthians 13, which is love. And he says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and that's another thing they'll say, do you have is your angelic, what's your prayer language, your angelic language? So they say that tongues, the gift of tongues is a real language, but you can sound like gibberish if you have an angelic language, because, you know, they speak in gibberish. So, I mean, there's so many variations to the teachings on this, and they are all, it's Acts chapter 2 verse 4, getting back to there, Acts 2, 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Again, the Holy Spirit runs God's armory, and how do we know that we're using the gift that God has given us to His glory, issued by the armory president, which is the Holy Spirit, is because in John chapter 15, verse 26, we covered this last week, but when the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father to be in you and to be upon you, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So you walk up to the, you know, a lot of people are forced by the Pentecostal movement, or inclined by the Pentecostal emphasis. The and again, Pentecostals are not all on the same. The Pentecostals that say you got to speak in tongues. So you show up at the window and you say, Holy Spirit, I want the gift of tongues. What do you want it for? Well, because they'll think I'm pretty awesome if I do speak in tongues. You got to go to the next window for that. You know, you got to go to someplace else. But if you want, I want everything God has for me. I want Jesus to be glorified. Sometimes, and this goes along with Romans, we're going to cover this later. I mean, sometimes, God, I'm so grieved with what's going on. I don't even know what to pray. And I just want to pray with you actually praying inside me, the Holy Spirit praying, and just, I want to receive your gift of tongues so that I can have a prayer time, Lord, where I'm just knowing I'm being used of you. And I am just praying to you in ways that I don't understand. And, you know, okay, yeah, I'll give that to you if the Holy Spirit wants to. And that's the example that was in my life that I can tell you sometime. Acts 2:5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans, meaning they're uneducated, is what in their view, meaning that they're miraculously doing something that they have never, that's never been done in history. And how is it that we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? Going to verse 11, we're skipping over all the different nations. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Here's another thing. What's an interpretation of a real tongue going to be? It's going to be like the Psalms. It's going to be like the glorification of God. I've been in a lot of services. And so they're trying to do things right. Somebody gives a gift of tongues. Somebody's doing the interpretation. And the interpretation is something along the lines, my little children, da-da-da-da-da. It's a prophecy. It's God speaking to the congregation through this person that's interpreting the tongue. Nope, that's not real. Because what they were hearing them do is glorify God, talking about the wonderful works of God. So a real interpretation of a real tongue is going to be glorifying God. It's not going to be prophecy. And the wonderful works of God. Verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Well, what's going to happen to 3,000 of them very shortly afterwards when the Holy Spirit falls upon Peter and he speaks words they can all understand, probably in Hebrew, of you guys crucified Jesus. You need to repent and get right with Jesus. And 3,000 people were added to the church that day, the first day of the church dispensation. Whatever could this mean? A new dispensation is starting. God is going to, they got rid of Jesus, but they didn't get rid of Jesus. The scribes and Pharisees thought they solved the Jesus problem, but Jesus' problem is back. It's on all the people that are filled with the Holy Spirit to testify of him to this wicked generation. Now, did Jesus ever speak in tongues that was recorded? Could have. Not recorded. You know what Jesus said in John 14:12? And greater works than these he will do. When the Holy Spirit comes upon the church, then greater things, that you're going to be doing greater things than what Jesus accomplished. Why? Because Jesus didn't accomplish leading millions and millions of people to Jesus. Who was it that did that? The Holy Spirit in the church over the years. And the first instance was speaking in tongues. Others, mocking, said, they are full of new wine. How many, when you go to France, don't get drunk so you can speak French. It won't work. tragically, my mom was deceived into killing herself with a bottle. And many, many times she'd be home, inebriated. She was also getting involved in the occult. She was also... And being involved in the occultic practices, she would be sitting around and we'd go, Mom, what are you doing? I'm writing from God. Because she was doing occultic automatic handwriting. And where people do, and they teach this, they even teach it at Sojo. So-so. You can just sit there, God calling. A lady wrote the book, God Calling, and she just receives messages from Jesus. You know, she keeps on having to renew her books because people point out that can't have been from Jesus because that's completely blasphemous and contrary to the word of God. Oh, okay, I'll take that part out in the next printing of the book. And so it's an occultic thing to think that you can sit down and just receive something from God. And even if you did, if God did want to make automatic handwriting one of the gifts of the Spirit, it's not going to be contrary to the word of God and it's going to glorify Jesus. That's the important thing. But she was wanting to do this, and then, she'd be inebriated and start talking, and it had kind of a French flavor to it. And Mom, what are you doing? I'm just speaking in French. I go, Mom, you don't know French. So even there, Satan is trying to duplicate all kinds of things. Should we be impressed because somebody can automatic handwrite? The Ouija board moves around? No, you're doing Satan's into occultic stuff. Ouija boards, automatic handwriting, deceiving people into thinking that they can receive languages, and that means they're in touch with God or the higher powers of the ascended masters of the age of Aquarius. And I mean, there's all that. See, seeking after a sign is what Jesus rebuked. I don't want the sign of I have a gift of God. I just want to get in love with God and let him give me the gifts he wants to give. And that's the important thing. So, others mocked. So, in summary, hopefully if I've done my job, you know that you're saved because you believe in Jesus and not because you speak in tongues. Everybody there? You put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior. That's what makes you saved. If I've done my job and the Holy Spirit working in you through his word has done his job, your heart is open to whatever God wants to do to help you be a witness of God. You're not going to say, all the gifts of the Spirit are gone because the King James Bible ever since that was written and there's no more need for the Holy Spirit in the church because we got what we need. That's a lie too. And we need all the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness. If you're, man, I'm scared. Every time somebody asks me about you, I feel like, oh, where's Pastor Kevin when you need him or somebody else? No, just say, Jesus, just give me a power to want to be a witness. Give me a power to want to read your word and to properly discern it. Give me a power to love people enough to say the truth of the gospel of Jesus. And you know what? God will answer that prayer because that's what he wants to do. He's looking for available, willing, single-minded people. He had 120 that first day. And look at where we are 2,000 years later because of them. So, open everything God has. Close to everything the devil has. Don't listen to people tell you things contrary to the word of God. And just, we haven't got much time. It's a good time to get all serious, all in, of like mind, with like those people on that day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago, and serve him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray by the power of your Spirit, Lord Jesus, that you would fill us. For those here that truly love you, truly know you, God, that every heart that's in this room that's convicted that there's something in their life, they just need power. The power of your Holy Spirit to allow their witness as just living a holy life, their witness as far as being bold in the truth of proclaiming your truth to this world, to their friends, their neighbors, that we would all be open to a deeper power from you by the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for this time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God in this closing song. He's a holy, great God. He's coming soon. He's in charge of everything that's going on in this world. Not that he wills it, but man has listened to the devil, but Jesus is in charge. We know how it all ends at the back of the book. And it's coming soon. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.